Call Resources Committee to order. In attendance, we've got Representatives Crawford, Ledoux, Elkins, Seaton, Chair Samuels, and Olson. We have one bill before us today. It's House Bill 230 by Representative Thomas, an act authorizing the making of loans for upgraded commercial fishing tender vessels and gear. Any further ado?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ian Fisk, staff to Representative Thomas. And this bill is about commercial fishing tenders and their ability to access loans that will allow them to do product quality improvement. Product quality like a new haircut, for instance, Mr. Chairman. The revolving loan fund is...
Must have been really bad.
The revolving loan fund is in the Department of Commerce, and it enables fishermen to access money to buy vessels, to purchase loan, to purchase permits, IFQs, and to do product quality improvement. And product quality improvement can include things like freezers, RSW systems, which is refrigerated seawater. It can include insulation for their fish holds, bleeding tables, or any kind of equipment that can help to improve the quality of the fish that they're handling. And this program has really been an excellent model of, you know, a way that government can help the industry to, especially promoting Alaskan ownership in the industry. But the problem is, from a tender's point of view, they're not eligible because they're not considered fishermen. And this bill is really pretty simple. It will make tenders eligible just for product quality improvement loans, not the other loans that the department or that the division makes. And Section 3 also allows that companies can apply for the loan, but it specifies that all of the owners of the companies must be qualified resident Alaskans. And this is just because relative to other fishing vessels, tenders tend to be a little bit larger. Some of them are owned by small companies. And so it recognizes that slight difference between tenders and regular commercial fishing vessels. So I guess with that, I'll just answer any questions the committee may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisk. So all of the shareholders under Section 3, all of the shareholders of the corporation? Not the officers and directors, but all of the shareholders of the
corporation. That's my understanding. And the division has always required Alaskan residency for any of their loans. And this would be no different.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any questions for Mr. Fisk? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, in the spirit of continuing with my dumb questions, tell me again how the loan fund operates. Where do they get their capital from in the first place? Just refresh my memory.
Through the chair, Representative Crawford, the revolving loan fund was initially capitalized with state funds back in the 70s, I believe, back when I was, you know, a wee lad. I don't remember how it worked back then, but they have not received any general fund dollars since, I believe, 1985. It's basically a self-sustaining fund. In addition to making the loans, the revolving loan fund also covers the cost of operating the division, all their staff salaries and so on, and in some cases has been used, you know, to fund other state activities. But it's a self-sustaining revolving loan fund.
Can you tell me the size?
I would have to defer through the chair. I'd have to defer to representatives of the department here to give you a little bit more detail about it. But, you know, they've definitely helped out a lot of Alaskan fishermen over the years. And this, like I said, would just extend that to tenders. They estimate it'll be a low number of loans every year, something like 4 or 5.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Ian while we're in here? Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. The Alaska Committee on Postsecondary Education was initially funded, I think, $70 million. They ultimately paid that back to the state, and but had some troubling years when students simply got the education and went off somewhere and never heard from again. But you're saying this, we don't know how much the capitalization is, but we have a pretty good success rate on repayment, better than a bank, worse than a bank, or what?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I'll have to defer to the managers of the revolving loan fund, but I can speak from personal experience that I have made all my loan payments so far.
Vested interest.
Are there any other questions for Ian? Representative Ledoux.
And wouldn't you also say that tendering might even be a less risky business financially than commercial fishing as far as repaying loan funds?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, yes, it tends to be less so because tenders usually get a fixed daily rate that they're on contract for, so they're not dependent on, you know, if it's a small run and so on. But actually, come to think of it, there are a lot of tenders that are beginning to operate on percentage basis as well. So, and there's always the inherent risks of operating a vessel and so on, but I would say it's less so than a lot of regular fishing operations.
Okay. Any other questions? We've got a couple of people to testify. We've also been joined by Representatives Gatto and Katzner. With that, if you'll stick around. I said Katzner.
Oh, did you? Excuse me.
With that, we'll go online to a testimony from Jason Kuntz from Homer. Are you with us, Jason?
Yes, I am. For the record, my name is Jason Kuntz. I'm a commercial fisherman, Alaska resident for 11 years, and a new owner in a fishing tender. And I'd just like to make some comments on this bill, if it would be appropriate.
Sure. Go ahead with your testimony.
Okay. Well, I think it looks good. I would like to see it also include the ability to refinance or to purchase a vessel under the same program with the same limits being in place. I think it would be a great opportunity for guys like myself that have bought a vessel with a little higher interest rate to be able to refinance, use some of the refinance money to upgrade the vessel at the same time. I think that would be a great program. It would certainly help out a lot of the other tendermen that are operating. And other than that, I think it's a great bill and it's a good step forward for the state. I'd also like to see the loan fund stay in the revolving loan funds and not go to the general fund. I think it's an important time with the salmon industry on the rebound to make as much money available for upgrades and also loans to new guys coming in the industry. So thanks a lot, and appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Jason from anybody? Next, we got Jerry McCune from UFA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McCune. I represent Cordova District Fishermen United. And all over the state, and particularly in my area, I know that we're dependent on tenders, so this disqualifies tendermen that don't have a permit or some other way to secure a loan for their existing vessels for upgrades, RSW. We rely on those tenders heavily for bringing in good quality fish once we transfer to the tender, so they're a big part of the operation of quality and getting that fish to the plant on time for making airline flights down to the fresh market and in the United States and things like that. So there's a small percentage of tendermen that don't own a permit or a salmon permit that can qualify. So this makes it eligible for the whole industry the guys that aren't qualified with the tenders will be able to access this loan as Alaska residents. Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any questions? No. Thank you very much.
That Ian kind of made me stumble around. He was.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly. Representative Gatto? Jerry?
Jerry?
That's pretty good. I've only known one tender owner, and he was outrageously wealthy. Is that pretty unusual, or tender owners typically doing pretty well?
To the chair, Representative Gatto, it depends. You know, some big king crabbers, you know, they tender in the summer. And so they have, you know, they have other access to other opportunities, king crab or pollock, and they do other fisheries. But there's a lot of smaller tendermen, such in Cordova and Southeast, or maybe, you know, 40-footers, 36, 58-footers that we have one right here. He's not very rich. And so there is a few tendermen that probably do their own upgrades without having a loan. But there's a lot of smaller operations around the state that are really small. Independent tenders.
If I continue.
Yes.
Is it the same risk as owning a fishing boat, owning a tender, the likelihood of making a certain percent return, the likelihood of going out of business, the likelihood of succeeding, about the same, or is there some advantage in tender operation over fishing?
Well, yeah, through the chair, Representative Gatto, you have the same risk that there's no season, but, I mean, tenders sign a contract. In our area, there's two ways, like Ian said, there's a contract. Some canneries go by a contract, a daily they call it, or they go by the percentage. Like on Pink's, lots of times it'll be a percentage, and the percentage is high, or they'll try to keep them on a daily because the poundage, there's so much poundage involved. A lot of guys like to go on the daily if it's a small sockeye fishery where they're not going to be packing a whole lot. So the risk is not as high as commercial fishing because they're signed in, a lot of them are signed into a contract. And we're not talking about every tender in the state also because, like I said, if you have a permit and you're a saner tender, then you already have access to that to the state loan program. But if you're just a tenderman without any other things besides just tendering, then that lets you access this program as an Alaska resident.
Yeah, thank you. Representative Kapsner.
We used to have tender boats on the Kuskokwim when we had a real lucrative fishery, and they weren't extremely lucrative operations. They most of the ones on our river made about 10 cents a pound. No, that can't be right. A couple cents a pound for hauling fish. And then there's a lot of overhead. There's your crew and your gas and food and, you know, whatever things you give to the fishermen to entice them to deliver to you, pop or sandwiches or whatever. But
special joke.
Yeah. But it's you know, in a lot of areas in the state, it's not a lucrative enterprise.
Except Homer.
Representative Seaton is a tenderman, so I'd like to know whether he could testify whether you're all outrageously rich.
I was waiting for a public testimony to be over. And I'm not the guy that Representative Gatto, I think, was thinking about. But thank you, Mr. Chairman. I could answer a little of that. The there's each different area of the state operates differently. You have very large vessels operating, like in Prince William Sound and Pink's down in southeastern. They need to haul 250,000 pounds to 500,000 pounds of fish, because you're talking about Pink's that are very, you know, small, not very valuable. And then they'll run them to Prince Rupert, or they'll run them to a cannery are very far away. And the thing is, this bill is talking about upgrades and make sure you have really good quality. And then you have a whole nother series of tendermen that are the, you'd say, almost the poorest of the poor fishermen. What they do is they buy an old boat, and they don't have money to buy a permit and all those kind of things. So what they're doing is they're operating on the margins. They're getting, it can be 10 cents a pound is a real normal kind of fee for the larger fish, not for Pink's, and it's generally 3 cents a pound. And they can get into the fishery that way because they don't have the expense of having to buy a permit and gear and those kind of things. And oftentimes they'll also work with the cannery will provide the fuel. So they're providing their labor and a boat. But the problem is those cheaper boats oftentimes don't have good refrigeration systems. And so the entire thrust of this bill is to upgrade for quality. Now, I do need to declare a conflict of interest on this bill because, of course, I do have tenders. I have 4 tenders. And I've been in this business since 1975, I think, is when I first started tendering. But it's quite variable between what area of the state you are and what kind of what fishery you're participating in. I mean, you have tenders like down in Chignik. Most of the tenders down there were 42 footers and no ice, no refrigeration, no anything. And now in the last few years, there's been changes, and so they use fewer tenders, but they have to be upgraded to, you know, have the best quality equipment. So just there's a total variability and from tenders that are the, you know, the big crab boats that are probably the most wealthy. Generally, the owner of those boats are not on board doing that tendering. They have their alternate skipper or crew member running it for tendering. And then you have the others that's the smallest mom and pop operation we have in the state, just about like trolling. So, Anyway, and so you got my conflict of interest declaration as well.
We will take your conflict as a motion to be excluded from voting, and I will object to that motion. You'll be required to vote on any amendments and on the bill itself. We've been joined by Representative Ramirez also. Are there any questions for Greg Weininger with the revolving loan fund, who is here in the audience and did not sign up to testify? But if there are any questions on kind of how it works, he's certainly available for questions. Or if you'd like to testify.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Very briefly.
Thank you. For the record, Greg Weininger, Director of Investments. In regards to the questions that Representative Crawford and Gatto had, I can provide you with some information about the loan fund and how much sure. money's gone in and out and that kind of a thing. Basically, the total amount that went in was about $60,201,000, and that happened from the early 70s until about 1985, and the last appropriation was made in 85. Since that time, there's actually been over $84 million that's been transferred back out of the fund. So in a sense, it has been completely repaid, and a lot of those funds have either gone back to the general fund or they've gone to fund other programs within the state. With that $60 million appropriation, we've actually made about $373 million in loans since inception of the program. And we've got about $100 million on the books in total right now. And as Ian testified, it is a completely revolving fund, so as money is repaid, it goes back into the fund and it pays for all of the operating expenses as well.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Representative Crawford and Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, when we have at the end of the year and the whole constitutional budget reserve sweep and all of that happens and then the reverse sweep happens and all that, is the revolving loan fund, is that protected from all of that, or is that a part of it?
Through the chair, Representative Crawford, yeah, it's completely separate, so it's not affected by those sweeps. All of the funds stay within the revolving fund itself.
Okay. Representative Seaton.
Thank you. Greg, there was testimony that if anybody fished as well as tendered, that they could, they had access to the loan fund through their fishing activity. Is that correct, or does the tendering, the amount of tendering that they do influence whether they can apply for that loan and qualify, or does it have to be all fishing?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, yeah, basically there are some fishermen that also tender, but when they come in to qualify for product quality loans, those loans are typically for their fishing vessels as opposed to their tenders. And so this will make it very clear that tender operators, or that money can be used to actually go into a tender as well as into a commercial fishing vessel.
Right. Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, that was a clarification that I wanted to get out, because it seemed to get a little confusing that, you know, fishermen, if you fished at all, then you could get a loan for your tender, and it's a different operation, and they not the fishing operation, which is where the loan would be dedicated to on the fishing.
Okay. Representative Gatto.
Thank you. Just a couple of questions. The default rate and number two, are boats used as collateral, and in some events you actually have to seize the boat?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, that's correct. We do have vessels as well as other types of assets, and in foreclosure situations you look to those assets, and so in some cases you may take back a vessel. We consider that a last resort. We do everything we can to avoid that circumstance, but yeah. As far as delinquency default rates, we're at about 9.8% right now, the delinquency rate. And actually, just as a note, for the product quality portion of our portfolio, which is for commercial fishermen, we're at about 7%. So those are typically those loans are a smaller delinquency rate than what we have for the other types of loans in the portfolio. But it's right around 9.8% for the total right now.
And just how does that compare with commercial banks and people that never seem to lose money making loans?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I would say probably it's higher than what you would find in a home loan program, that type of thing. These loans are higher risk than typical types of loans that you would find at a commercial bank. And for the most part, a lot of these people would not qualify for typical types of bank financing.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay. Is there anybody else online that wants to testify on HB 230? Anybody else in the audience? No? Public testimony is closed. Is there any discussion with the committee?
I've heard enough, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we need to hear one more sentence then.
But this will go toward the fishermen.
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 230, version G, with individual recommendations and accompanying physical order.
Version G, yes. The original version of the bill. It hasn't been modified yet. Okay, is there any objection to moving this bill to the Rules Committee? Hearing none, 230 is moved. Thank you, Mr. Fisk. Yes, Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to take the opportunity, if I could, to let the entire committee know that there is going to be a meeting at 3:30 with the Alaska State Pension Investment Board in State Affairs Committee, and so this is working on the Persian Tourers stuff, and we actually have about five members of the board here, so if you have ability to come, it's just right across the hall.
2:30 or 3:30?
3:30.
3:30.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And we're adjourned.